Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm your host, Jeff Harris. And I need to start this episode out with a little bit of an apology. I know I haven't gotten any content out lately. There hasn't been a podcast in over a month, and I've been sporadic on getting updates on the written articles as well. And I feel bad about it. I made a commitment to try and put up content every week and to have it alternate between articles and podcasts, and it hasn't happened. Now, there's certainly reasons why, and they're decent enough reasons, but I don't want to fall back on excuses. Just so you know, the reasons were, in the last month, there have been two conventions. I had Emerald City Comic Con and then Norwest Con. And those weekends, just no content updates happened. I did get an article out, but there was no podcast last week because on the heels of Norwest Con, I got a cold. And I sounded horrible. There was no way I could record anything. You'd been distracted by how bad my voice sounded. But I'm healthy, and it's time to get back into it. So with that, this is going to be another going over the recent news in the culture, and there's a lot. I'm certainly not going to get everything that happened during my little impromptu hiatus, but there are a few things I certainly want to touch on. And for the first one, ever since I started the site, it seems I have been discussing issues of gatekeeping and harassment in geek culture, and I probably always will because it's an important subject to me. And there was so much happening on that front recently that I would be remiss if I didn't at least touch on it. If you've been following the news at all, I think the big one you probably heard of was an article done on the website Comic Book Resources by a woman named Janelle Aslin. At least I think that's how her name's pronounced. And it was a critique of the cover of the latest relaunch of Teen Titans. Now, the point of the critique overall was that it was a horribly composed cover, and it was. It was a terrible cover. I realize I didn't look up the name of the artist, and maybe that's for the best, because I'm sure they don't want to be called out for how bad the art was on this. In and amongst the problems with the art, and it wasn't that it was necessarily badly drawn, it was badly framed and badly composed. But amongst the sins, she pointed out that front and center on the cover was Wonder Girl, who is a teenage girl, I believe not even depicted as 18 yet in the current comics. And her proportions, it was outrageously proportioned and highly sexualized. As was pointed out, and people did measurements and found it to be true, her breasts were the same size as her face. Now, overly sexualized characters on covers is nothing new. It's been a discussion for a long time. And one of the big problems is, of course, if we want to bring in female readers, it might help if they don't feel objectified when they're looking at the books. Well, that's an old discussion. Unfortunately, what's also an old discussion is the reactions that happen when a woman tends to speak up on subjects like this. Now, the first salvo was shot off by an artist named Brett Booth. Now, Brett is an artist for DC Comics, but has nothing to do with Teen Titans. He is the current artist on The Flash. And I'm going to be honest, he's competent. I don't think he's anything to write home about. He's not going to be the next superstar artist. He's no Ethan Van Shriver. He's no George Perez. But he's competent. He does fine with the material. But he took offense to the critique and called her out for critiquing. It was very juvenile. It was basically, stop being such a big meanie. We want to have fun with our big-breasted women. All right. Juvenile, unprofessional, but not terribly out of hand. What did get out of hand was then the fan reaction they picked up, especially on the Comic Book Resources forum. And it's the story we hear all the time. Guys get upset with a woman over something frankly trivial and start sending rape and death threats. And this got particularly out of hand because some clever boy on the forums found her real address and personal information and posted it. So suddenly the idle death threats and idle rape threats, which are already bad enough, take on an added level of seriousness because they have now outed where she lives and makes the potential of a real attack an actual thing. I would like to say this is an isolated incident, but it's not. I actually attended panels at NorwestCon this year that dealt with these issues. I have a friend who writes a website and does a podcast very similar to what I do. She covers geek culture, but she covers it from a more feminist point of view. The site is Geek Girls Rule, and she's a great writer. She's a very intelligent woman. She speaks very eloquently and very passionately. But because she is a woman speaking up on the internet, she does get a high ratio of threats. And I mean, horrible, horrible threats. So much so that at one point, just to show how bad it was, she had her husband moderate her forum, and he couldn't believe how out of hand it was. This, unfortunately, is normal in these discourse. What really makes this story interesting is how Comic Book Resources chose to deal with it. They looked at their forum, which has always been a little bit of a cesspool, and they looked at how bad the threats had gotten, and they looked that they had a lot of users who were hiding behind anonymity. And they decided to just blank the forums. They shut it down. They archived everything, and they put the archive up so people could grab stuff they wanted to save. And they restarted the forums. But it required everyone who had been on the forums, if they wanted to come back, they had to re-register. And they could no longer be anonymous. And they made a vow to seriously moderate the forums and not allow the horrible speech that had been going on before to happen anymore. And this is the most laudable thing I can think of. It was a great decision on their part because it was the people who run Comic Book Resources saying, we are going to take a stand. This is wrong. We're not going to allow it. And that's what needs to be said. We need people saying, no, this goes too far. This is bad. You shouldn't be doing this. That's the only way it's going to get better. So I applaud them for their efforts. Unfortunately, that is not the only story like this that came up recently. In the last week, I became aware of an issue involving yet another comic book convention. This time it is Cherry City Comic Con in Salem, Oregon. And what happened, much like some other conventions that we have talked about recently or I've written about recently, they used pictures of scantily clad cosplayers as part of their advertising. Yeah, it's really strange how these conventions, they claim they want to be a safe environment. They claim they want to have everyone come and have a good time, but then they seem to use objectifying women as part of their marketing strategy. It's a story that we've been dealing with a lot lately. And in this case, you had a congoer who really became uncomfortable due to this, particularly when they started posting pictures of female cosplayers from different conventions who weren't even coming to Cherry City and were using them again as, hey, look at the sexy woman we're going to have here come to our show. So one person who had been going to the convention contacted the convention and basically asked for a refund. She decided she wasn't going to go. And what happened was one of the organizers of the convention, I mean, one of the main organizers of the convention, and it's a new convention, mocked her for feeling unsafe. He made fun of her. He called her batshit crazy. He really was mean to her online. And it kind of went back and forth for a while. It's another case of guys wanting to put on a convention, not realizing that they are not behaving in a safe and inviting manner. And when they're called on it, rather than maybe learn from their mistake, they decide to double down. Now, it blew up in their face. All of a sudden now, Cherry City Comic Con is another convention that has been labeled with not a safe convention. And they're trying to backpedal on the story. And posts have been deleted. But, of course, people are always taking screen captures, so they still exist. It's just become a big mess. It's a shame because we need good conventions, and we know they can happen. When you see the other conventions lately that are putting up really good anti-harassment policies, that are putting up the posters, and I know I talked a lot about this from Emerald City, but it is becoming a standard now to have the anti-harassment posters around other conventions. I've heard about it a lot in the last month. So I can only hope that at some point the message is going to really start seeping into the geek culture around the conventions that we can't do this, that we have to do better. We know it's possible. We've seen people do it, but it's going to be a long haul, and we just have to keep talking about it. Well, now that I've talked about all that, let's get into some good stuff. And there has certainly been some good stuff recently. One of the things I really got excited about was they just had the announcement of the full cast of the next Star Wars movie. And it's an interesting cast mix. You have the stars of the original trilogy coming back, of course, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford. You have a bunch of younger actors, all of whom are either unknowns or have done smaller work, but have never really hit big on the public consciousness. And then you have a couple of newcomers who are really interesting, who are well-known. Of the well-known newcomers, you have Andy Serkis and Max von Sydow. And that is amazing to me. Andy Serkis, of course, is well-known as the actor who did the motion capture performance for Gollum in Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. He did the motion capture for King Kong in that, and he did Caesar in the new Planet of the Apes series. So he specializes in doing these motion capture performances, which are frankly amazing. And with a new Star Wars movie, the assumption I would make is they're going to have a motion capture character. And they made the simple realization that if you can hire Andy Serkis to do a motion capture character, you should just hire Andy Serkis to do a motion capture character. He's an amazing talent, and he's versed enough in filmmaking that Peter Jackson had him as second unit director for Hobbit. And then Max von Sydow, I mean, this is an amazing actor who's had a long career and had so much association with movies that are important to geek culture. He was in The Seventh Seal. He was The Exorcist. He was Ming the Merciless in Flash Gordon. We could go on and on about this man's credits. He, in my opinion, is an actor of that generation up there with Christopher Lee and Ian McKellen of, if you're going to have somebody to bring gravitas to a movie like this, he's an excellent choice. One other thing I was really happy to see when I saw the pictures of the table reads and around this, Mark Hamill. I saw a picture of him, I'd say about a year ago, and my first thought was, the years are catching up with you, Mark. I knew he had the accident back during the Star Wars days. There was some plastic surgery needed to be done. That seems to have held up well, but he was looking a little rough, and it was just one of the, okay, he's getting older. Unfortunately, those pictures were some of the ones used when they were shopping pictures of him into Star Wars images for the new movies. It was like, well, this could be rough. But the pictures now, in the last year, once it became clear that there was going to be a new Star Wars movie and he was going to be in it, apparently the man decided to get serious about getting ready for it. I read something that they say he lost 60 pounds and has been getting into shape. Now, he's obviously not going to look like some buff dude, but he's certainly looking good, and he's growing the beard. It's clear he's revving up to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi mentor role in this movie, like Guinness was previously, but it's a good sign. I have a good feeling about the new Star Wars. I'm one of those people that I generally like J.J. Abrams' work. And I'm not holding what happened in the second Star Trek film as a map of what could happen with Star Wars. It's its own thing, and he's not working in a vacuum. He's working with Lawrence Kasdan, who I believe firmly is why Empire was such a phenomenally good movie. So holding out hope there. And the last subject I want to cover today, and okay, I know I started complaining and I'm going to end complaining, but I just can't help it. Free Comic Book Day just happened. And if you're not familiar with the event, this is a day every year where the comic book companies print a special issue of something from their line and make it available free, and people can go in the comic book shops and pick it up. And the idea is it's to entice people to come into the shops, see what's going on, get a comic or two or a dozen, and see if you can draw them in as new readers. It's a great plan. And a lot of good stuff has come out of Free Comic Book Day. There's been some great stories. But I want to emphasize, the goal is to try and entice in new readers. Well, that's the general plan. But some companies also like to use Free Comic Book Day as just a way to advertise some new upcoming storylines they're going to be doing. In the case of DC Comics, their entry into Free Comic Book Day was something called Future's End, and it's a preview of an upcoming massive crossover storyline, as if we didn't have enough of those, featuring the Justice League. Obviously, from the name, it's set in the future. And I looked at it, a lot of people have looked at it. It's horrifying. Honestly, I would suggest go out to my Tumblr. The Tumblr is fanboy-news-network. And scroll through it a bit. I have reblogged a page from it. This was the thing they were trying to use to bring in new readers. It's horrifying. I mean, it's full of flat-out nightmare fuel. It shows members of the Justice League fighting each other. Some have become monstrous. I mean, horrifically so. And in this, I mean, there is mutilation, there are characters dying, there's an image involving Frankenstein, who DC has a ongoing Frankenstein series. They use the Frankenstein monster as a regular character. But there's a picture involving him and the Black Canary that is quite seriously enough to give some younger kids nightmares. And I know everyone says comics aren't just for kids these days, but still, this is the Justice League. I mean, this was the book that had Batman on the cover. If a kid comes into a comic shop, what do you think they're going to grab? It just was horrific to me. And I don't know what to say. I looked at it, and one of the people in the reblog I did, their blog is, I think it's pronounced Junther Comics Vault. He said that DC Comics is fundamentally ashamed of making comics. And even he was quoting, but still it seemed to sum it up. Another person that I really respect, Lewis Lovehog, who runs a great comic book based online video series called Atop the Fourth Wall, said it's the equivalent of DC Comics as a 12-year-old jumping up and down, shrieking at the top of their lungs, "I'm an adult, I'm mature, why won't anyone pay attention to me?" It really disappoints me, and I really hope one day there is a cleaning house at the top of DC Comics, because the people running it right now, there's a reason I dropped picking them up regularly. And it's things like this that are it. Yeah, we can hope for better. And you know what? Go check out some of the other Free Comic Book Day stuff. There was some great stuff in there, honestly. There really were. I mean, and you're talking, there was, I think, Square Bob Sponge Pants. I don't watch the show regularly, so I don't know. There was stuff for that. There's a great series called Mouse Guard that had a free one. Rocket Raccoon got a free comic book published in anticipation of the Guardians of the Galaxy coming out this summer. There was some great stuff out there. I know it's past, but you know what? Some of these books might still be available at your comic book store. It only just happened. And if not, you know, keep an eye open for next year. It always happens this time every year in early May. Check it out. There's some great stuff, but just be warned, some companies just don't seem to know how to put out a good book. And with that, I think we're going to bring this episode to a close. Again, for those of you that have followed, thank you for staying with me. I apologize for the interruption in production. I'm going to get right back onto it and get back to producing my content regularly. So thanks for that. And until next time, I'm Jeff Harris. Take care. This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2014 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from the Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.